The boundaries have been broken.
Welcome to Vanguard Radio.
I believe that your primitive cerebrum kept trying to wake up. I'm your host for
The Truth Is No Defense.
Let's start tonight's broadcast with the economics of crime prevention and suppression. Suppose, for example, basic crime prevention and suppression techniques are introduced into a lawless society. An economist would tell you that in such an example, crime would drop precipitously. The bang for the buck is quite high. However, for each subsequent increment of crime prevention and suppression, the marginal benefits diminish. At some point, additional efforts yield no benefit, and further attempts harm society in terms of lost productivity. Stamping out all crime is just too costly. Some level of crime must simply be tolerated, even in a tyrannical society. This principle of marginal benefit also applies to news, though I prefer the term propaganda. Propaganda makes facts sparkle. It animates facts. Propaganda is often innocently dispersed, horizontally, by commonly held assumptions. In other cases, it is deliberately inserted vertically into news broadcasts. We live in a society under the influence of coherent and pervasive full-spectrum propaganda. In all circumstances, no matter how trivial, this propaganda is present. If you observe and listen, you will note the pride many Americans feel at being able to perfectly repeat program themes such as diversity is our strength, we are a nation of immigrants, and we must be sensitive to those unlike ourselves. Take, for example, the weather forecast. How tempting it is to insert, either unknowingly or with forethought, that this Saturday will be not only sunny and clear, but a terrific day to join the diversity rally downtown. Or consider interracial gang rape. 99% of gang rapes are committed by swarms of black men raping white women. But the only well-publicized alleged interracial gang rape of recent times is the Duke case, in which it is alleged that white males raped a black stripper. In 99 other cases, blacks rape white women. The media is an inverter of reality. It turns our world upside down. It serves interests that are not ours. Yet there are leaks in the system. This broadcast is one example, so is Goyfire. And of course, there are hundreds of other websites and small printing presses churning out propaganda opposing the Jewish media. But how many people listen to this broadcast? A couple hundred? How many people listen to Goyfire? A thousand or so? How much is it worth to the media clique to shut down Goyfire or to locate and destroy independent presses? Frankly, the media clique doesn't need to worry too much about us. In fact, shutting us down might cost the clique more than it gains. Attention might be drawn to our propaganda, sympathy for our positions might increase, and of course, shutting down the opposition would deprive the clique of the information it needs to monitor our propaganda, information it needs to generate counter-propaganda. The marginal cost of arresting and destroying fringe media is too high, at least for the time being. I'm sure you know the name Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the evil mastermind behind the insurgency in Iraq. He is a terrorist. Iraq, terrorism, Zarqawi. Iraq, terrorism, Zarqawi. Iraq, terrorism, Zarqawi. Now do you remember? You recall the photo, don't you? The fuzzy black and white one? A man with a beard? An Arab face with some sort of skull cap? It's always the same photo. You've seen it, haven't you? Beard, dark eyes, skull cap? I bet you've seen that photo hundreds of times. It's a typical Arab face. The face of a terrorist. Never mind that the real Zarqawi, that is, the man whose face is on that photo, probably owns a falafel stand in Cairo and has nothing to do with terrorism. But then again, perhaps Zarqawi doesn't even exist. Zarqawi might be invented by intelligence agencies, brought to life by the breath of Jewish media. I'm not the only one to offer this speculation. Curiously, until today, Zarqawi had been the crafty mastermind of evil, just one step ahead of American justice in Iraq. But today, the Pentagon released what is being called a blooper video of Zarqawi. In the video, the much-feared insurgent is shown wearing sneakers and comically fumbling a rifle. So, Zarqawi the evil mastermind becomes Zarqawi the boob. What the Jew createth, the Jew can taketh away. With the war going badly, the Goy frontmen for Jewish power ought to keep that in mind, especially a man like Don Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense. Rumsfeld is, after all, of German descent, and every German is a potential Hitler. And when you were told that Saddam Hussein was just like Hitler, you believed that. When you were told another Munich was about to happen, you believed that too. When you were told Iraq had nuclear, chemical, biological weapons, did you believe that? Did you believe that Saddam Hussein was trying to reconstitute his nuclear weapons program? Did you believe Saddam Hussein was about to launch UAVs directed at the East Coast, which would then spray poison over the United States? Do you believe that George Bush is a good Christian man? Do you believe he's a good-hearted, straight-talking Texan? Do you believe that Israel is our ally and only friend in the Middle East, the one nation that shares our Western values? Do you believe that diversity is our strength? No? Well, that isn't what you're told to believe. It isn't what you're shown to think. And it isn't what you hear from radio, TV, and advertisements. And if you think otherwise, you might be violating a law of some kind. For your own sanity, for your career, for your physical health, just believe what you're told. And what you're not told, you don't need to know. After all, have you ever heard of John Paisley? What about Team B? Have you ever heard John Paisley or Team B discussed on the Rush Limbaugh show, on Sean Hannity, Matt Drudge, or mentioned by Ann Coulter? I first read about Team B in a book by Michael Collins Piper called The High Priests of War. It turns out Team B was the Jews' first successful high-level penetration of the U.S. defense establishment. Team B's christening was way back in 1976, under then-President Gerald Ford. Team B was a small group then. Its role at first was to critique CIA intelligence estimates of the Soviet Union. Team B expanded under Reagan, and now, 30 years after the initial construction of Team B, its ideology dominates the entire defense establishment. Team B is a textbook case of Jewish subversion. Team B's real purpose, according to Piper, was the reconciliation of America's defense policy with that of Israel's. And who comprised Team B? Do the names Richard Perle, Richard Pipes, and Paul Wolfowitz sound familiar? They ought to, for it was Perle and Wolfowitz who masterminded the Iraq War and told George W. Bush to invade Iraq in 2003. Oh, and who was John Paisley, you ask? Mr. Paisley was a retired CIA agent asked by George H.W. Bush to act as a liaison between the CIA and Team B. Piper reports that Paisley had acquired documents exposing Team B's perfidy, and while writing a report critical of Team B, was murdered. Piper writes, according to Richard Clement, who headed the Interagency Committee on Counterterrorism during the Reagan administration, the Israelis held no compunction about terminating key American intelligence officials who threatened to blow the whistle on them. Those of us familiar with the Paisley case know that he was killed by the Mossad. But no one, not even in Congress, wants to stand up and say so publicly. For many listening now, this is probably the first you've heard about Team B, John Paisley. This is probably the first you've heard about Michael Collins Piper. However, the facts he brings to light are in plain sight. Nothing is hidden. Piper freely publishes his work, detailing the takeover of the U.S. defense establishment by Jews, and the murder of John Paisley. Yet, all this can be simply ignored. Who is going to tell the public? Bill O'Reilly or Stone Phillips? And exactly how would that benefit them? But better to ask, how much would it cost them?